Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, the one true God, fill this place this morning with the reality of the words you said years ago, I will be with you. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. 2 weeks ago, yes, 2 weeks ago, as I was preparing for today, and I was reading the lectionary scriptures for today to begin that preparation of getting the bulletin ready for Sunday, November 10th. And for my mind then, as I was reading the lessons 2 weeks ago, it raced back in time to many summers on Friday evenings, the time of the week when the campers have gone home and the summer staff gathers together to close out the week. It was the summers of 94 and the summers of 95. A few times each those summers, we would gather in Twin Chariot Luther Memorial Camp when the staff, and as the staff was gathering, I would be having the staff set their shoes outside. Well, two reasons. One, it was this Exodus chapter 3 reason, holy ground. The other was, if you've ever been in a staff meeting on a Friday night during the summer and everybody relaxes by kicking their shoes off, you'd rather their shoes be outside. But there's another reason. Wanted to really emphasize, we are gathering to worship. Yes, the week has gone by, but we're gathering to worship. And set your shoes outside was a physical way to remind us to prepare for a holy encounter. For soon we'd be worshiping, and when you worship, you are in the presence of God. It seems strange. My mind also raced back to those nights. And oftentimes I had my 12-string guitar sitting across my legs, and I'd begin picking away. And while waiting for the counselors to staff to arrive and all that, several songs would be played back and forth and sung around. But I always seemed to start plucking out the rhythm for Dust in the Wind. And I'd start playing, and then we'd start singing, and soon everyone would join in with Dust in the Wind. All we are is dust in the wind. Soon the staff would gather. We'd read the words from Exodus chapter 3. Take off your sandals, for the place you are now are standing is holy ground. And with those thoughts from years past in my mind, I set the sermon title 2 weeks ago as In the Presence of God. I plan to focus on the extraordinary moment of the bush aflame, and then with images from the movie The Ten Commandments and Charlton Heston as he brought alive the role of Moses experiencing the very presence of God, focusing on the astonishing moment that God came to speak to a mere man and send him onto Egypt as the deliverer. As you can see from the sermon title on the screen behind me, that sermon title has changed. As Wednesday morning came around last week to finalize the bulletin before Hobe would come in to print the bulletin, I was reading through the lessons once again. And as I was reading, my mind and my heart kept pulling me in a different direction due to what was taking place in my family, in my daughter's school, and more. If you haven't already heard, if you don't know, please listen as I share with you. Heather, our girls, and myself, we went to bed early Monday evening. My alarm clock was set for a very early time on Tuesday, November 5th, because Tuesday, November 5th was voting day here at Faith in Christ, and I would be the one opening the church at 5:30 a.m. for the election team to arrive and prepare for the day. And so with the alarm set to go off and play the radio a little after 5 a.m., I was in bed early, 9:30 a.m. on Monday evening, and began to doze off. Then the phone rang. The time was 10:16 p.m. Unusual time for a phone to ring that late. Must be something important. And so we looked at the caller ID to see who could be calling at this time of night. We always check the caller ID because the number of robocalls that are going around right now is outrageous. The name displayed, though, the name displayed was the principal of Emmanuel Christian Academy, Why would he be calling us? Heather and I were wondering, why was he calling? I picked up the phone and a very somber voice began to speak. "Jeff, this is," he said his name, and then he shared with us about Michelle. As I listened, I was devastated. They wanted Marissa to know that her friend Michelle had attempted to take her life late in the afternoon on Monday. Her parents found her when they came home, and she was care flighted to the hospital, but it doesn't look good. The next 48 hours would be very critical. Marissa was given the option to stay home from school on Tuesday. After praying together with the principal, we hung up, and I shared with Heather what had been told to us, and I was going to go in and let Marissa know. Well, the phone call rang, and it woke up Marissa, and she had heard. I still went in and spent a few moments with her and then tried to get back to sleep on Monday night. An hour later, I go in and check on Marissa. She's fallen asleep, but I give her a kiss. Devastation, heartache, questions of why, praying for a miracle. Tuesday comes with more phone calls and emails, communications from Emmanuel. Plans are made for Marissa and the other girls to get together, who made up that circle of friends with Michelle to be together that evening at one of their houses. They ordered Chinese food and were together through the evening. Heather stayed with Marissa, so I took Aria to her jazz dance class. Thoughts, memories, prayers, all racing through my mind, trying to sleep Tuesday evening. Wednesday morning comes, get the girls off to school. Marissa had the option to stay home, but she wanted to go, to be with the other friend, especially at lunch. You see, Michelle, Marissa, and the other two girls were in classes together. They ate lunch together, an English class. It was Marissa, her other friend, and Michelle made up a table of three. This Wednesday, that desk would be empty. Wednesday morning, I came in to finish the bulletin, ready for Hope to come in and print. And reading the lessons again, I was drawn again to that verse in Exodus where God gave Moses a promise. The portion of the interaction that begins with God sending Moses. Exodus chapter 3, verse 10, God says to Moses, "So now, go! I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." Now remember who Moses is. Remember where he was born and raised. These past 40 years, he's been a shepherd in Midian. But remember his first 40 years. Moses was raised in Egypt. He was raised in Pharaoh's household, educated and filled with the knowledge of the vast power and reach and influence of Egypt. Moses knows by experience what Egypt is capable of doing. Moses naturally responds in Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Can a single man who's been away 40 years go strutting back into Pharaoh's court and command, 'Let Israel go'?" Indeed, who is Moses to go to Pharaoh? Then, the answer God gave to Moses, that answer makes all the difference. And that answer given to Moses is what sets apart the God of Israel from all other gods. I invite you to listen carefully and take to heart what the Lord says to Moses. The very first part of verse 12, Exodus chapter 3, the very first part of verse 12 is what resonated in my heart this past Wednesday morning with the Lord guiding to preach this Sunday. Exodus chapter 3, verse 12. In answer to all of Moses' concerns, "And God said, 'I will be with you. I will be with you.'" And that just resonated in my heart, God speaking that through these moments of pain, God is saying, "I will be with you. Father, how can I get through such heartache and sorrow? How can my daughter get through losing her friend? How can our TNT leaders and teens, along with our day camp counselors, find healing?" The answer comes flooding over me. "I will be with you. I will be with you." Moses, he was about to embark on the next part of his life that would fill the next 40 years. And he's armed with that promise, I will be with you. Moses arrives in Egypt. Does everything go smoothly? No, not at all. The reality is the troubles come and things get worse. Moses won't let Israel go. Pharaoh then increases the workload by ordering the foreman in charge to no longer provide the straw. Israel, the Hebrews, they must gather the straw themselves, and the tally of bricks will not be less. Plague after plague comes, with suffering increasing, till Pharaoh relents and lets the Hebrews go. Wednesday evening came around last week, and the email we were expecting finally arrived that Michelle had passed. Devastation doesn't begin to express what's in our hearts. There was a time on Thursday afternoons that Heather would head off to school and pick up the kids. Many times all the seats in our van would be filled. Occasionally, Heather and I would have to count, do we have enough room for everybody to fit in the van today? We'd drop the boys off at their home, and Heather would come home, and out of the van would come my two girls and Michelle. For a whole TNT year, each Thursday afternoon, Michelle would ride home with us and spend the afternoon in our home before TNT. She became a part of our family. And I know for at least one, if not two, of the Super Bowl parties we threw, I hosted and all that, Michelle and her parents, Nicole and Chris, they came for the evening. And the web of connections crosses through many of us here too. How does one heal? How does one help another hurting heart? And how do we help the hearts of our teens heal and experience hope once again? There is a God who knows how we are hurting, and that God is here with us now. That promise to Moses rings true for us to this very day, in this very morning, in this place, and it rings true for all of your life. I will be with you. You may say, well, that was the Lord speaking to Moses out of the burning bush. How do I know that this applies to me too, to today? How can I hold on to that promise? That promise was given to Moses. How can I hold on to the promise, I will be with you? You find the answer in Isaiah chapter 7, and it's echoed in Matthew chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. Matthew chapter 1, Matthew echoes that when he says, beginning at verse 22, Matthew chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. I will be with you. The very name of Jesus, God with us, Emmanuel, is I will be with you. There is where you will find your healing. There is where you will find your hope in the midst of great sorrow and pain. And that's what sets apart the Judeo-Christian faith from all other things in this world. I will be with you. The Lord enters into our suffering. The Lord walks with us through the suffering. Why do the world's religions have a God as our God? Do any of them have a God who says, I will be with you, as our God has said, I will be with you? Do any of the world's gods have the ability to bring comfort? Do any of the world's gods have compassion, as our God has compassion on us and saves and redeems? Do any of the gods of the other religions and of this world enter into the suffering of their believers and followers, as our God enters into our suffering? There is no comparison. The power of that promise, I will be with you, is ours. Even with that promise, I will be with you, life will be hard at times. At times, life will be excruciatingly painful. even with the promise, I will be with you. There was not the promise that everything would be smooth sailing. Storms will come. At those times, they come and go in your life. Do not doubt the promise, I will be with you. Problems are life. They make up life. They're not signs God has abandoned you. This world is broken. This world has pain. This world has sorrows. This world has things happen that we don't understand why. There were no signs. There was not even a note. We don't know why, nor do we understand. But the one we worship has overcome this world. And the one we know says, I will be with you. Moses had that promise, I will be with you. And still the problems he faced fills many chapters and books of the Bible. The people are free from Egypt and the problems increase. They're trapped by the Red Sea. And then there's no water in the wilderness, no food, no meat. The people complain. They turn their eyes back to Egypt, for at least they had some food there. God parts the Red Sea. God provides the manna from heaven. God gives them water. God brings quail too. And still Israel complains. Moses described them, you know, these Israelites, they're a stubborn people. They went so far as to even make a golden calf. Through all of this, Moses was still experiencing the promise, I will be with you. Yes. Yes, we are hurting deeply as a family. Marissa is hurting extremely deeply and doesn't know at this time how to put it into words. She struggles when a person asks her, how are you doing? How she's doing? She's grieving in a manner she doesn't know. The parts of her are so deep that hurt, she doesn't know how to express it. Marissa is learning that compassion for her and your compassion for her elicits the empathy that leads people to ask how you're doing, but she doesn't know how to answer that question. Please give Marissa space in the coming weeks. She'll share when she's ready. I do thank you for your compassion and understanding in this. Some here know that I take pictures for Emmanuel Christian Academy. I provide pictures for different events, especially athletic events, for the yearbook. And in that role, I was at a volleyball game a couple weeks ago, and Michelle came up to me and we hugged and we chatted, and then Michelle headed off to join the rest of the volleyball team. And whenever Michelle saw me, she'd come up and give a hug, and we shared a hug. Chatted for a moment, as I said, and then she went off. Little did I know that would be the last moment, the last words I'd exchange with her. But at least I have that memory of a hug. Yesterday, which Saturday afternoon, I was sitting watching TV. Aria was leaning on me watching TV, and I asked her, Aria, what will you be when you grow up? What do you plan to be when you grow up? And she answered, be alive. That was her answer. Even Aria is impacted greatly. Be alive. This promise, I will be with you, is the only thing that's getting me through at the moment. It's a wonderful promise. I will be with you. It's what will get you through these coming days and weeks and years too, as life happens. It's a promise you can share with others as they grieve and experience the things of this life. I will be with you. Emmanuel, God is with us. What other answer can I give at a moment other than give you the promise of the true word of God? God says, I will be with you. And you can hold on to that no matter what happens in life. You can trust God no matter how badly you hurt. You can get through to the next day because you know in the midst of suffering, the Lord has entered into your suffering with you and says, I will be with you. It's a powerful truth. And it's the words I give to you from a dad who is grieving greatly, and grieving for a family, and grieving for a school, and grieving for our TNT leaders and our TNT teens. Michelle was a precious young lady. Why? We don't know. But we can find healing. We can find hope. We can trust God because we have this promise. I will be with you. Emmanuel, God is with us. Amen.